I don't have I'm not used to having a king. We grew up in the United States of America, or at least I did. I don't know about everyone else, but I grew up in Arkansas, which is in the United States. I don't know if how well you know the geography of things, but if you go in, it just says, at least we're not in Mississippi. That's all Arkansas says. That's our motto, not Mississippi. We grew up in the United States, have a president, celebrate the presidents. We have a mountain that we destroyed to put their faces on. They're on our money, except Benjamin Franklin. He doesn't count. But he got the biggest bill, Benjamin Franklin. We gave Abraham Lincoln the penny, George Washington the one, and Andrew Jackson the 20. It doesn't make sense. But we put their faces on our money, and they're the closest thing to a king we have. We're not used to a king. We're not used to being ruled by a king, but we know who has authority in our world. I read my Bible, and sometimes you can forget that they were under a king. Yeah, there was King Herod, and his name was King. They called him King Herod, but it was just because he wanted to be called King Herod. He had no real authority except to just react out of fear. But there was a real king in the first century. His name was Caesar. He was such a king, his name meant king. I'm not kidding. I know Caesar wasn't his actual name. There was Augustus and Julius and Tiberius and Vespasian and Domitian and Nero and Domitian, and there's all sorts of Caesars, but Caesar just means king. That's where, they translated that into or transliterated that into czar. We have czars. I believe that's Russia. Is that right? No one correct me. Yes, thank you. Johnny's in the back giving me a thumbs up. He doesn't know either. We're just encouraging each other. That's it. Next time you say something incorrect, I'm going to be like, yes. No, he knows. No, there was a king. And the king had a lot of power over all the land. You paid taxes to that king. And the way they got their power was pretty simple. And now the Romans would call it peace. They would say, we're spreading peace. They even have the Roman peace, the Pax Romana. Romana, like Ramona Shelburne. Romana. They had this Roman peace that there was such a peace over the land, a peace brought to you by death and intimidation. This peace and intimidation, this death and intimidation came by them just marching in to places that were not ruled by Rome. And they would say, "Hey guys, we've got good news. We're proclaiming good news. You are now under the dominion of our Lord, the Caesar." And everyone would say, "No." And then they would say, "Oh, okay. All right, let's try this again. Who's your leader?" And they'd be like, "Earl." And Earl, they'd say, "Earl, get over here." He was the Duke. And they would put Earl on a cross, and they would crucify him, and they would make the village, the land, watch all the other leaders. And they would say, "Watch that. A crucifixion crucifixion was a horrible thing to watch. The crucifixion was so painful that they actually had to invent a word to describe what happened on the cross. It's where we get our word excruciating. And so they would make those people watch, and then they would say, "All right, let's ask again. Now that you've seen the cross, would you like to be under Caesar's rule?" And everyone would say, "Yes, that's fine. The vice earl would say, "Yes, now that I'm in charge, I don't want to do that. We will pay homage to Caesar. We'll pay tax to Caesar. Roman guard can come in and they can occupy the place. They'll make sure we don't get out of line. Make sure, by force, that there's peace." That's how that kingdom worked. And if you at any point decided, "You know what? We don't need Caesar as Lord. We have Barabbas here. We have Joshua here. They are going to be our new king." The Roman people would come in and they'd crucify that guy, and the rebellion would be shot down. Because no one else wanted to go through it. But there stands Jesus on that mountain. And they worship him and they doubt. They're hesitant. And the Bible says, Matthew says, that he came to them. Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." This is not Jesus saying, "I'm real powerful because of miracles and whatnot." Jesus here is claiming kingship over heaven and earth. He is now king. All the things Jesus did after his resurrection point to his kingship. He ascends. An ascension. Now, we think like he floated, which is probably true. He disappears behind the clouds. Craziest story in Scripture. That Jesus just flew away, but the Bible doesn't say he flew. It says he ascended. And to what do you ascend? To a throne. Jesus is king. He's the ruler, the good king, the good ruler of all the nations. Not just Israel, but all of the people. Jesus is the king. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, he's going to send them out to make disciples, but unless he gives them that information, unless he assures them of his authority, unless he assures them of his kingship, it is not going to go well. If they're just going out to preach a religion, if they're just going out to share some information, if they're just going out to talk about the cross, it's not going to succeed. But what they're going out to do is to tell the good news about a king that's on a throne. A king who conquered death, a king who beat the cross. And in doing so, submitting himself to the cross, he now rules over sin, over walking. When he walked out of the grave, he rules over death. And as he claims his authority, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," he rules over us. It's a big statement for Jesus to make. It's a big demand for Jesus to make of us. That Jesus is now our King. Sometimes I worry that we're not making disciples because Jesus isn't our King. That we've crowned other people king. And we've let other people rule us more than we've let Jesus rule us. That if we are to go into all the world, baptizing and teaching, that if we are to believe that Jesus is truly with us always, if we're going to have the strength to go into all the world with our worship and our hesitation, we've got to know that the King on the throne has our back, and we've got to be following the King. A couple chapters earlier, Matthew 22, The religious of the world, or of Israel, are approaching Jesus, and they're asking him all sorts of questions. They're testing him. This is where we get, in Matthew 22, we get the, what's the greatest command? But before that, we have a question where they say, hey, what do we do about taxes? And Jesus says, why are you trying to tempt me, you hypocrite? Which is my answer to everyone who asks me about my taxes. What do we do about taxes? He says, are you trying to test me? He said, bring me a coin. Bring me some money. And they did. He said, whose picture's on it? Whose image is on the coin? And they said, Caesar's. He said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's. And then he says, and give to God what is God's. But did you hear the standard he lays out there? What belongs to Caesar? That which has the image of Caesar. So what belongs to God? That which has the image of God. You give yourself to God because God's image is on you. When we treat Jesus as King, what we're saying is the way Jesus rules, I'm on board with that. So when Jesus tells me to love my neighbor, to love my enemy, to pray for those who persecute me, to turn the other cheek, that's his rule. It's a sad state of affairs sometimes that where I worry, where I wish that maybe it would be better if your favorite political pundit had told you to love your neighbor. Maybe you'd listen to him then. Or maybe if that person you listened to on the radio had said, pray for those who persecute you. Maybe you'd listen to him then. Maybe we would. Your King is the one you listen to. Your King is the one you let rule you. Don't let this world rule you. It's not going to ask you to love. Don't let this world rule you. It's not going to love you back. The King we follow can only be demonstrated within the context of unconditional love. Bring me a child. Whose image is on that child? Give to God what is God's. There is so much brokenness in this world. It's running rampant. And listen, hear me out. I'm not doing the out there. The world out there is broken. The world in here is broken. We bring brokenness in with us and sit our brokenness in the pews. We can't say out there is rough and in here is good. In here needs Jesus as much as out there needs Jesus. And so we will get caught up in the world and we'll bring the world in here. I just started preaching at a church. I won't tell you which one. There's only been three. So just take a guess. You'll be, you know. The answer is usually C anyway. But I'd been preaching there a couple of months. And I had talked about Jesus every time. And I don't even remember the context. But I said something to the effect of, and I was saying it sarcastically. I wasn't saying it actually. But I said something about pull your pants up. Like don't let, and I don't remember the context, but someone went, amen. And I'd been there 3 months, so that's when I start to get brave. I said, no. I've talked about the empty grave week after week, and the first amen I get is because you think someone should pull their pants up. We're not going to amen that nonsense. We're going to amen the resurrection. We're going to amen, we're going to hallelujah the salvation we found on the cross. But I'm not going to amen what some pundit has got me all feverish about. Trying to convince you that the whole world's your enemy. How long have they been trying to steal Christmas from us? It's been a while. If they're doing it, they're bad at it. Literally trying to convince you that the person that disagrees with you is not only your enemy, but they're the Grinch. That's funny, and you'll get it in the car. It is absurd, but the person who's convincing you of that, if you're just caught up in that, that king's going to fail you. That king doesn't love you. That king will not sustain you through this difficult journey of going into all the world and going into all the nations. People who are different from me, speak different languages than I do, have different upbringings, have different backgrounds, believe different things about how society should be run. I'm going into all the world and telling them about Jesus. I can't do that if my other king is telling me they're my enemy. Or that they're stupid. I just can't go into all the world if I'm not supported by the King who loves all the world. But if instead I'm following kings who just want their money on my currency, or if their face on my currency, I blew that line. I wrote that line and blew it. Following kings who want their face on my currency. And they want as much of my currency as they can get. We are the kingdom of God, ruled by a king who loves us and has defeated death for us and has defeated sin for us. And when we abandon that king for another, just because the other kings make me feel more right, we abandon the kingdom of God to survive on its own. Sometimes we can't make disciples because we don't know who has the authority. And a lot of people claim to have authority. A lot of people claim to have done a lot for you. But bring me your soul. Tell me whose image is on it. And give to God what is God's. You deserve, or Jesus deserves, to have you following him as king, because he's the only true king. When Jesus showed up to the world, he declared it. He said, I've got good news. The good news is coming. All the gospels say he started preaching the good news. And it was all about repenting, for the kingdom is at hand. So today might be a day of repentance. It might mean you have to grab your neighbor and pray with them. And say, we got to quit. We got to start following the right king. We've got to stop hating those people. We've got to start loving like we're called to love. Repent. You can come talk to me. You can talk to your neighbor. You can go grab an elder. Go grab Johnny or Lance, Chris, Wayne. None of these kids here. Don't do that. I had to figure out how to stop naming people. Go grab somebody. Because there's a good chance there's a king you need to give up. And a king you need to join. Let's pray.